Let's open our Bibles this morning to Micah chapter 6. And verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth into the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Now let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When it all comes right down to it, what does it all mean? What does your life mean? What is the little span of time that you live here mean in the end of everything? Is the life that you spend here, when you die, just end? You just go to sleep? And nothing really mattered at all? Is that what we're here for? You know, it does us good. Ponder these things. This is very simple. This is very basic. But it is the most meaningful thing that you can hear. Why am I here? why are you here? Solomon here was one of the wisest men. We learned this morning in Sunday school, even with all of his wisdom, he made some very sinful choices. He was wise, yet he chose some sinful things in his life to disobey God. But in his wisdom, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. People came from all over the world to hear Solomon speak. If they had some thought way out in somebody's imagination somewhere, people would travel all over the world to come to find an answer to a question that they had, that they could not answer themselves. And Solomon could give it to them. He knew all about. I think he knew, had a knowledge of about anything in the world that they knew at that time. And he could give an answer to all of men's questions. But at the end of all of his wisdom, he said, let's hear the conclusion of all that matters out of all that I know. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's go back to Micah. Will the Lord, verse 7, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What does the Lord require of you? Is he requiring an offering? Is he wanting for you to give him an offering? Is he wanting you to take something that's very precious to you and kill it, and you give it to him? Is he wanting maybe your most prized possession, and he wants you just to take it and destroy it for him? There may be things you need to destroy if they become an idol to you. But is the purpose of doing that to give it to God, or to eliminate it because it offends God? What's the conclusion there? Is he wanting you to offer idols and offer gifts and sacrifices and do things to try to please him? Or is he wanting you to see that if something's in your life that may need sacrifice, and so it can be taken out of your life? Do you see the two different distinctions of an offering? One is I want to give you this so I can please you. So that you can see how good I am or how bad I am, and it will cover up what I've done and how I've lived. Or we can see there's something in my life that is actually an idol. Or there's actually something wrong with what I'm doing. And we take that out and sacrifice it or destroy it or get rid of it because we know that it is offensive to God. What doth the Lord require of you, O man? What doth the Lord require of you, woman? What doth the Lord require of you, young people? What does He want? Does He want a sacrifice? Or does He want you to get anything out of your life that's offensive to Him? What doth the Lord require of thee? Take that question home with you. Take that question home with you. What does the Lord require of me? What does He want from me? But to do justly. To do justly. To do what's right. That I'm fair in everything that I do. That I'm fair in the way I handle my business. That I'm fair in the way that I live with others. That I'm fair in the way that I work with others. Oh, I'll just let him do it. I'll just let my brother carry a little bit of my load. Or I'll just let them take care of it. He wants us to live justly. The only way that a brotherhood can work together is when everyone takes it upon themselves to live justly with the rest of the congregation, with the rest of the brethren. Would I want this myself? Would I want someone else to take advantage of what I'm offering? Think about things like this. This is just living. This is just living. A community or a congregation or a church can't live together without each one carrying his own burden plus some of the other people's burdens. Do a little extra than what's required of you. That's how fellowship and communion and community, or whatever you want to call it, works. Otherwise, we've got to start writing rules about who does what, and who does this, or who does that, or how much you can do, or how much you cannot do. And then that takes the responsibility away from you, so that we let someone else decide my job and his job. That's what the unions do. They divide everyone else to where... I'll give you an example. One time I was working at the cheese plant. And these men shut the cheese plant down. And a bunch of union people came from Chicago to put a new floor, a tile floor, in the floor of the cheese room where I was working. And these men were union men. And we had to help them. We would carry bricks for them because they wouldn't carry a brick themselves. We had to set up bricks for them because they wouldn't take one out of the pile to put it on the floor. They had someone that went along and put the mud down for them because that wasn't their job. One of my responsibilities was to just take the bricks out of the pile, stand it up on its edge, long lengthwise on the narrow end, stand it up there so that man could reach right behind his back with one move, get that brick, and place it. That was his job. And he didn't do... One time, I set the bricks up, and I was setting them up when I was first learning, and I had one of the bricks turned backwards. He reached behind him, picked up the brick, and it was turned backwards. He felt it, that it was backwards. He picked it up and threw it down and broke it. Pretty foolish, isn't it? He was living by rules. And that's all. And he was doing... He didn't break the rules. He kept them. And in their world, that's the only way they could get a floor laid, because everyone had to do their job exactly. And if it wasn't, they didn't have to do it. If I didn't have them standing up there, he could sit down and not do one thing. And he wouldn't. But that's not the way it is for a disciple or for a just man. A just man goes out of his way to do all that he can to help his brother. There's sometimes we do need a little extra help, and maybe we can't quite carry our weight sometime. That's where the brethren have to just step up and help out. And it don't hurt for us to have to do some extra. It's all right. Do it. But don't be a burden. Because you're just lining yourself up to have to live under a bunch of rules. Do justly. And love mercy. Love mercy. Do justly and love mercy. love to go that extra. Love to be patient and kind and gentle and courteous. Love to be forgiving. Love those things. Love to extend an opportunity to do something that's not required of you. And to walk humbly with thy God. Walk humbly with thy God. You know how we walk with God humbly? I don't mean we keep His commandments proudly. That don't mean we go around with the attitude or the idea that I'm better than everyone else. Nor does it mean I can't do anything. I'm helpless. The Bible says, walk humbly with your God. Not sit down and let God do it all. Walk humbly with Him. How do we walk with someone if we're offensive to them? We can't. So to walk with someone is to allow God to show us where it is that we're not walking with Him. So that when He shows us what it is and where it is that we're failing, we can walk and take another step with Him. It's not walking through the world like we're walking in flowers and we got God holding our hand and He's singing us a song and I'm just bubbly all over because I'm walking with God. Walking with God is learning how to walk with God. Correcting what is wrong and humbly repairing it. That's what he taught us about. That's why He's given us this book of instructions and how to live. What doth the Lord require of me? Take that thought with you. What doth the Lord require of me? I'm not talking about just a dead going through the motions. We had a real encounter with that this week. A dead going through the motions. They're even gathering up people to go through the motions with them. But there's a sterileness to it. There's nothing more sickening to me than to have people that know all the rules and follow them and yet don't have any answers in reality. All of us can learn to keep rules. You can teach a dog to keep the rules. But for that dog to love justice and love mercy and to have some real answers to questions, real cross-based Christianity instead of just dead rules. God doesn't want sacrifices. Christianity has replaced heifers with Jesus. It's replaced oil, rivers of oil, with Jesus. It's replaced offering lambs and goats with Jesus. That's the only difference between Jewish religion and Pharisee Jewish religion and modern Christianity. They've just throwed the goats away and put Jesus in their place. It's amazing. That whenever you begin to put in the practice mercy, justness, doing what's right, obeying God, how confusing that is to the world. There's no sense for it to be that confusing. Last night there was a group of people that set up a microphone, or had a big speaker system, and they set up on the street and they started preaching about faith. And it is, we just listened. They told us that faith in Jesus meant that God did everything. And there was nothing you could do to be saved. That they called us out and said, there's people here tonight that tell you if you obey, that you're doing it all on your own. And it's only God. We have nothing to do with our salvation. And then he turned his Bible and said, okay, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And he began to read about Noah. Noah had faith. And then he read about Noah. And he said, Noah, hearing God, moved with fear to the saving of his own house and built an ark. And I thought, now wait a minute. What a contradiction. And then he went on to say that we should run the race and put aside every sin that easily besets us. How does that fit with God does everything? The whole message contradicted what his whole message was about. Every time he opened the Bible, he contradicted what his message was about. He said, in order to be saved, you've got to repent. Well, now, wait a minute. If it's all with faith, we can't repent, or we'd be working. Faith in God is having a fear of God, loving God and wanting to please Him. Listening to the conscience that God has given, the voice that has called us out of this world and putting it into practice in a very practical, simple way. Just do it. Listen to God and obey Him. God is speaking. And if you hear Him speak, if you hear words, if you hear preaching, if you hear the Bible, and your conscience is saying the same thing, it's time to quit studying. It's time to quit worrying about it. It's time to stop preaching. It's time to stop praying. And it's time to hear God. So many times people substitute preaching, praying, and reading their Bible with doing what they know they ought to be doing. You know what all those good things are? Whenever you're not obeying what you ought to be doing, those are the very calves and oil and bulls and goats and Jesus Christ Himself. Whenever He's put in that place as works. Obey God. When the light comes, obey God. There's time when the light will go out. My grandma once said that, and I never heard the message, but she said the saddest message she ever heard was after Judas left Jesus, and it went out and it was night. Wait a minute. Judas walked with Jesus. He was part of them. And when he went out, it was night. When he left Jesus, just eating with Jesus, he was in communion. He got his feet washed. He was in fellowship with the brethren. He was even carrying the money. They trusted him. And when he went out, and his conscience went out, it became night. He went and found the Pharisees and the mob and brought them to take Jesus and have him killed. How could a man's conscience change that quick? When the light goes out, there is no more light. When the light goes out, there is no more conscience to God. There may be a consciousness of religion, but there is not a consciousness of God. How many people have we seen that have gone out? They got offended. They got upset. They got something happened. And they went away and started drawing back and drawing back. Like a car, it started missing a little bit, then missing a little more and coughing and sputtering, and then it just died. But when they went out and it died, the next thing you hear about them is they're back doing the same old things that they used to hate. Why? It became night. The light went out. The light shut off. The conscience went dead. That's what's real. You can do all the outward things. But if you're not hearing God and walking with Him, you're just dead. It's sad that so few people know what the cross is really about. They might have had to pay a big price and still not know what the cross is. There will be opposition when we get religious. And there will be people that we will aggravate just because we're religious. China's full of people who are killed for what they believe in. But it's not because they're carrying their cross that Christ brought. It's annoying sometimes. We can be, as preachers, we can just be a pain in the neck sometimes. But it might not even be about the cross. We can be obnoxious and let the world hate us. God is looking for people who are holy and just and live righteously, and they love to do it. They love God. They believe. They have faith in God. Real faith in God. That the world cannot understand. If our message is not met with a heart that is listening to God, it's dead. There's nothing there. We're working with some men in Springfield that are looking for every little answer before they say they will believe. Jesus walked up to the man setting up taxes and said, "Follow me." That man didn't wait to find out all the answers to his questions. He rose up, laid aside his garment, and followed. What a blessing. It takes faith to believe God. It takes faith to say, "I understand what you're saying. I may not have all the answers, but I understand that there is something true there. And I want it." And it lives itself out. Not in dead, dry rules. Not in cold, hard religion. But in the way we live with each other. Being merciful. Watching out. Being kind. Being generous. Everyone being that way. Everyone joining in and being that way. That's what the world does not know. That's what the world, what makes the world the world. It's not about how holy I can be or how separate I can be. That can be the meanest, hardest, cruelest kind of religion there is. It's how much I can give of myself. How much extra can I do for someone else? What can I do to do more to help? If we all have that attitude, we can all work together. If we need help, let the brethren help us. There's times we all need a little hand once in a while. Don't deny the blessing to your brother. But make sure whenever you can do it, you're right there to help the other. Whenever it's his turn to get the blessings from the brethren. When we all live that way, we're in the kingdom of God. Because that's why the way heaven is going to be. Pretending that we're righteous is not what heaven is going to be about. Pretending that we have Jesus' holiness is not what heaven is about. It's because we believe God and we're putting into practice what Jesus taught. That's what trusting Jesus is. I'm going to allow Him to control my life. And I'm going to show it by how I love the kingdom of God. Anybody can go preach. Donkeys preached. Parrots can repeat Bible verses. But it takes a man of God or a woman of God to live out a life of Christ in a community of God. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We ask Your blessing upon it this morning. Help us have grace and patience as we bear one another's burdens, Father. Help us have mercy and kindness, courtesies, Father. Help us learn them, Father, that the kingdom of God would be on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ, we ask these things, Father, that we could carry them out. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share? The Lord. All right. Amen. Right. If we can't do that, we have no message for the world.
I was thinking about what Jesus said, or what it says in John, that the man saying he loves God and hates his brother, how can that be? But then I was also thinking about how can we teach other people, how do we think that we would be able to teach other people? And have
something to
share with them if we
can't love our brother who we know very well. How can we love something we don't know if we don't love our brother? Right. I appreciate that clear thought of how, if you think substituting reading your Bible and your talking to God in prayer and going out and preaching is what God requires of you, and not to walk in His commandments. You walk every day, being faithful in the little things, being faithful in the big things, and not having outward things, not having malice or wrath or judgment or thoughts in the right way, not, you know, and all these things. But I mean, I did my boasting for 35 minutes. I am a strong Christian. Well, I struggled with anger. I struggled with getting outraged at my wife and not getting her anyway, Christian. But hey, I do boasting. I'm a godly man. That is just how the worldly church lives. Like, as God, you just look at all the information He knows. He needs like 15 theological books. He should be a professor and a pastor when his family's in a shambles and he's teaching me to respond to something he disagrees with in kindness.
Amen.
My favorite passage in Isaiah 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Hear the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings for rams and for cattle and fat cattle. And I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you is trampled in my court. Bring your worthless offerings no longer, incense and abomination, new moon, Sabbath, and solemn assembly. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. I hate your new moon, and your appointed feasts, and come to me, I am weary and weary. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayer, together, and they scarlet, they will be as white as snow. When they are red like crimson, they will be like gold. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Through the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And all the things he mentions here, pretty much, just like in the past few minutes, are things God had actually commanded them to do. He wasn't saying you had them because they were offering sacrifices to Baal or because they made up their own rules. He was just sick of their doing the stuff he commanded them without actually walking in fear of him. How much worse if we make up our own rules? That statement we could not even replace justice and mercy and walking in the Spirit of God. I mean, at least they were doing the things that they were commanded to do or else. And God commanded them. How much worse for us if we think we can just make up our own rules and then be right with God while still neglecting the same thing as God for us.
All right, then. Well, Lord bless you, and we'll see you all 6:30 this evening, Lord willing. They're coming up too?
Yes.
Okay, well, good. Very good. All right. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed.